Robert Baker is a pastor and Bible teacher. He's made a lot of videos about the rapture and the end times. One that he recently posted about Daniel 12 is what we'll look at today.
So what we're studying today, the last chapter of Daniel, is going to be prophecy, and it's prophecy about all this time period right here, from the rapture on to the beginning of the millennium.
From Genesis to Revelation, a lot of prophecy and history has been documented over the thousands of years since the beginning of Earth's history to the point that we're at right now. The point we're currently at in the biblical timeline is right before the last days prophecies. A general understanding of where we are with recent biblical history and the timeline is that Jesus Christ came and was resurrected. We're now in the church age, the time to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ to the world. Next will come the beginning of sorrows, the great tribulation, the wrath of God, the second coming of Christ, and then the thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Then Satan is released for a short time and quickly defeated. Then a new heaven and a new earth is made, an eternal peace for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. According to this biblical timeline, we're at the stage right before the beginning of sorrows, evangelizing the gospel to the world, or entering into the beginning of sorrows. This means that some huge prophetic events are right around the corner. Robert Baker puts the rapture of the church right before the Great Tribulation period.
It talks about the elect. The elect would be the Jews. So this is all taking place after the rapture. Amen?
It's important to point out that whether the rapture is before the tribulation, during it, or after it, really isn't all that important. Jesus told us to live every day like he could come at any moment. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. What's really incredible about end times prophecy, and it's something that many people overlook, and it's what we'll focus on in the rest of this video, is how much of prophecy is directed towards Israel and the Jewish people. After the wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, and famine that take place during the beginning of sorrows, then the Great Tribulation period begins, in which the Bible specifically mentions a location of this and that it's happening in Israel.
Now, who is this speaking about? Jews. Jesus is speaking to the Jew. You go to this passage today, and some people will try to say that applies to us. So I have to fly to the mountains of Judea? I have to buy a plane? You know how expensive the plane ticket was to Israel? Now I got to go buy another one? That's not to me. Now, it talks about the elect. The elect would be the Jews. So this is all taking place after the rapture. Amen?
Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. According to Robert Baker's video and his teachings, he believes that much of the end times prophecies and the Great Tribulation are focused towards Israel and the Jewish people, and I'm in agreement. There's quite a few different passages that point to these events focusing on Israel. Besides the reference to fleeing Judea in Matthew 24, we have Jesus telling us, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you'll know its desolation is near. 1500 years ago, the prophet Zechariah prophesied that Jesus would come back to the Mount of Olives and split it in two. The book of Revelation chapter 14 tells us Jesus will also stand on Mount Zion with the 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. The two witnesses God sends to prophesy and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ are sent to Israel. A temple will be built in Israel, that the Antichrist will stand in and declare to be God. God still has long-standing covenants with Israel and the Jewish people, and their rejection of the truth of Jesus being the Messiah is why I believe that many, if not all, of the end times biblical prophecies are focused on Israel and the Jewish people in the Middle East.
The tribulation is exactly 7 years long. 7 years divided in half is 3.5 and 3.5. Or 1,260 days, 1,260 days, or 42 months and 42 months. Well, this last half is called the Great Tribulation. And when we went through Revelation, we saw this is where God pours His wrath out on the earth. And this is the time that the Jews have to flee into the wilderness, and they're protected. And what did the Bible say? For how many days are they protected in Revelation chapter 12? 1,260 days. So when we know our Bible, we know this is the time which they had to flee and get away, and that's where God protects them in the wilderness, and it's called the Great Tribulation. So this whole thing we call the tribulation, but the last 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation.
It's becoming commonplace in our world for people to attack Israel and the Jewish people just for being Jewish. This fits in exactly with the Bible prophecies of nations gathering against Israel in the last days. But this is far from who God wants us to be. If any person does evil, it should be called out. No one is above correction. Even Jesus was very critical towards the Pharisees who claimed they knew God, but in actuality they didn't. These types of people are probably what is referred to in Revelation 2:9 as Satan's synagogue. Their hardened hearts are what caused them to fulfill the prophecies and crucify Jesus. But this ended up being the start of the new covenant for us, the fulfillment of prophecy. This was the beginning of the new church with the resurrected Christ, which brought salvation to the Gentiles. Now, anyone who believes in Jesus will be saved. The book of Romans has a lot to say about Jews and Christians and both of their places in the eyes of God. Jesus is the Messiah and the only way to God. God has not just cast the Jews off forever. This is why much of the end times events are focused on Israel, to open their eyes to the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. You don't want to be on the side of the people who are surrounding Jerusalem and attacking Israel in the last days. You want to be in the group of people who are grateful for being grafted into the branch along with the original covenant, and doing everything you can to lead them and everyone to know the truth that Jesus is the Messiah.
So Romans 11:11-12. I say then, have they stumbled? Who's that? The Jews, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now skip down to verse 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. What part of all Israel shall be saved do they not understand? If they deny that, then they are what? According to the verse, they are ignorant. And there are a lot of ignorant people out there who claim to be Christians who are saying God's done with the Jews when God says, I'm not done with the Jews. Because the Bible says it's to provoke them to jealousy that he took the gospel to us. So we get saved because of them. But God must fulfill his promise. He's not done with those people.
All of the prophecies point to Jesus being the Messiah. It's impossible for just some random person to come and fulfill all of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. This proves his lordship and that he is the Son of God. Prophecies written hundreds of years before Jesus came to the earth all were fulfilled through him. The Messiah would be a Hebrew man. He would be born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, a priest in the order of Melchizedek, a king, one who suffered before entering into his glory, a son of David. The prophecies go on and on. Jesus fulfilled over 300. Even the Jewish feasts point to Jesus Christ, and according to Robert Breaker, he believes that through those feasts, they'll be able to predict when the rapture will take place.
Every one of these feasts have to do with Jesus Christ. They're called the Moedim in Hebrew, which means the appointed time. God has an appointed time that he does everything. And so all these seven feasts have to be something in the life of Jesus, because we saw that he's the Passover lamb. He rises from the dead. He's the first fruits, right there in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 23, unleavened bread, John 6, 48. He is the unleavened bread. That's what he calls himself. He's the first fruits, okay? And then Pentecost comes and his spirit comes down. All right. So all these are in the life of Christ and they're all fulfilled. We call these the spring feast. Then is the time of harvest. And then the other feasts come in the fall as they bring in everything from the fields. So the next thing to come is trumpets. The next thing to come is atonement. The next thing to come is tabernacles. And then way off over here, 70 something days later, is Hanukkah. So these haven't happened yet, have they? So what is the very next thing on God's calendar? He's getting married.
I personally don't like getting into trying to predict the rapture, because even if we can understand the seasons for when it will take place, still we're told by Jesus to live our life every day like the Master can come at any moment. However, I do want to point out, many people say the rapture was created by John Nelson Darby and the Schofield Bible. But for anyone who reads their Bible, the possibility of being taken from the earth before the Great Tribulation is found in Scripture. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, but on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In the days of Noah, God led Noah and his family to escape before the flood came. In the days of Lot, God warned Lot and his family to flee Sodom and Gomorrah before its destruction. Lot and his two daughters escaped safely. Lot's wife didn't listen to the Lord and looked back and perished in the destruction. It's definitely intriguing that in both of the two scenarios that God said to look at, like how it will be when the Son of Man returns, are in both instances moments where God led his people out first safely. However the prophecies unfold, or whenever the time frame of the rapture takes place, it's undeniable that Israel, and therefore the Jewish people, will be the center focus of it. And it is our job, whether people like it or not, to strive to be like Jesus Christ and to lead all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues to find out and accept that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the Messiah, and the only way to God. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you.